Hello, everyone. I'm recording this a few days after Earth Day because I forgot to record it on Wednesday evening when we met on Earth Day. Earth Day feels particularly deep and potent this year when we are experiencing very directly our utter interdependence with Earth systems. Our relationship with Earth is intimate. Think of the words humus and human, which suggest being humble, close to the earth, down on the ground, and humid, moist. That's what humus is, the dark, moist top layer of soil, composed of decayed organic matter. Humus is poorly understood. Gardeners know that stable humus helps a porous soil to hold water and a heavy soil to hold less water. A pound of sand holds a quarter pound of water. A pound of humus holds 2 pounds of water. And yet, according to a wonderful book called Dirt, The Ecstatic Skin of the Earth, humus is unique among biological substances. It resists the processes of microbial decay so that it can remain in the soil, sometimes for 10,000 years or more. Soil chemists have been trying to pin down exactly what humus is for decades, without success. Apparently, every time you try to break it down into its basic components, you get acids of slightly different nature. The author of the book, William Bryant Logan, says, "Radical disorder is the key to the functions of humus. At the molecular level, it may indeed be the most disordered material on Earth. No two molecules of humus may be alike. Though no one has difficulty recognizing a humus molecule, it is quite likely unique because it works upon fractal principles. Simple geometries define any given part of it, but the modes for the combining of these shapes produce a vast array of different manifestations at different scales. For humus, similarity is rampant, but identity non-existent." I love that phrase. Similarity is rampant, but identity non-existent. Like snowflakes. Everybody can recognize a snowflake, but each one is unique, like us. So I thought today, or a few days ago on Earth Day, that we would do a meditation based on a very old meditation from the earliest Buddhist scriptures. A meditation on the elements, in which we experience this interdependence of our bodies and the universe. We do this by contemplating the earth, water, fire, and air elements within and without the body. These elements make up our bodies and everything in the universe. So let's do that now. We don't usually do guided meditations in Zen, but since we're practicing virtually, it's a little harder for us to do some of the other things we might do for Earth Day. Let's do this meditation. So please take your meditation posture. And for this meditation, it's good to close your eyes. The first element we'll contemplate is the earth element, which represents the solid nature of matter. feel the solidity of the body as it sits in meditation. Feel the supporting structure of the skeleton, the muscles, tendons, cartilage, connecting the moving parts of the body. This flexible, permeable bag of skin, which contains us. Its apertures, which allow the inflow of nourishment and the outflow of waste. The marvelous complexity of passages moving blood, lymph, nerve signals, air, and food through the body. Feel the pull of gravity on the bulk of the body holding you to your seat. What are the mineral elements that make up this solid body? To what are we reduced when the life force no longer animates this bag of water and earth? A pile of bones? A puff of dust? Now contemplate the earth element outside the body. Feel the firmness of your cushion or chair beneath you. Feel the structure of the building in which you sit, its foundation reaching into the earth. Moored to the body of this great earth, the many living things that inhabit this earth, feel the vast presence holding this thin skin of life on its surface. And feel your connection with the many bodies moving through the unimaginable space of the universe. We are made of the same cosmic dust as they. How many living bodies have our elements passed through? How far will the elements that form us now disperse when we are no longer our bodies? Now let's contemplate the water element within us. Water, this miraculous substance, both fluid and cohesive. It holds solid particles together, and it has tremendous carrying power when it flows. The salt water that fills our cells gives us our shape and most of our weight. Blood and lymph constantly circulate and renew us. Mucus lubricates the passages of our bodies. Tears flow to cleanse our eyes and release the toxins of emotional stress. This marvelous system by which we drink in fluids, extract their mineral wealth, and excrete the rest. The water in us makes us buoyant in the sea. It responds like the tides to the pull of the moon. The water in us rises as steam with the smoke from our funeral pyre. Next, we contemplate the water element outside the body. The elegant water cycle that nourishes all life on earth. The falling of rain and snow, gentle or fierce. The ever downward running of streams, creeks, rivers, into ponds, lake, and the great earth encircling oceans, cradles of life. The rising up again of water vapor, the endless variety of clouds, ice crystals, snowflakes melting on your tongue. water running always through us and around us. Every molecule of water in us has passed through countless other beings. We are quite literally reincarnated. Next, we contemplate the fire element in the body. This is the element of heat. Scan through your body, starting at the top and descending. Notice the quality of warmth or coolness in each part, starting at the top of your head, the center of your forehead, your throat, heart area, the throat and the heart are areas that reflect our emotional state. Whether our muscles are contracted or relaxed, whether our breath is shallow or deep, these factors will affect blood circulation and heat regulation in our body. Notice the warmth in your belly. Maybe you're still digesting a meal. Isn't it amazing the way our digestive system metabolizes the food we eat, turning it into energy to fuel our cells as they do their varied jobs to keep our bodies running? And then notice the heat, any sensations of warmth in the genital area. This is our source of life energy to connect, to reproduce. And then notice your extremities, hands and feet, cool or warm. And notice any different sensations of heat or cold on the surface of your body, where your skin is covered with clothing, or exposed, or touching another part of your body. When we near our death, our extremities cool. The fire within us slowly dies. Now contemplate the fire element outside the body. Feel the warmth of the air in the room, and from the heat of your body escaping into the air. Feel the warmth coming from the great powerhouse of the sun, both directly and indirectly through the lives of the beings whose bodies nourish ours. Consider photosynthesis, the way plants make food out of sunlight, carbon dioxide, and water, one of the two most fundamental of biological processes. The other is the process of burning by which we animals transform that captured sunlight into heat energy to fuel growth and life. We could say that all life is burning, consuming and being consumed. Consider the sun's energy stored in those ancient beings whose bodies were transformed into the oil that, for the time being, fuels our human civilization. The sun giving us life, along with earth, water, and air. In balance, they sustain. In excess, they destroy. Next, we contemplate the air element within the body. This is the element of wind, of movement, passing in and out of our bodies on the miracle of our breath, renewing our cells with oxygen. From the moment we take our first breath to the moment we breathe our last. Inspiration, expiration. Full, empty. And next, we contemplate the air element outside the body, enveloping, permeating. What is inside? What is outside? What comes to us as sound? What leaves us as sound on waves of air? How are we carried on great winds through the universe? Let's spend just a few more moments with all the senses open to the vibrant humming of the elements as they come together, our bodies and the universe, in continuous flux. To close, I'd like to use the words of William Bryant Logan, slightly altered. He's a kind of mystic of dirt. Soil is only the darkest and coldest of all living things, the most widespread and the most receptive. Warmed, it blooms. So may we, in our darkest moments, be attentive to the penetrating rays of the sun that finds the seed of awakening within us. Thank you. The next thing we did on Earth Day was a very abbreviated version of a practice taught by the great activist, Buddhist peace and environmental activist and teacher Joanna Macy. In work that she originally called Despair and Empowerment Work, and has in more recent years called the work that reconnects, the work that reconnects us to the earth and earth systems and each other. And this particular practice is what she calls the Council of All Beings. So on Wednesday night we did this, and I'd invite those of you at home to do it in your own way, and to share it with someone, anyone, a friend, a housemate, a family member, after you've done this. So the way to begin is to just sit quietly again and allow your mind to quiet, to be spacious, extending out beyond your present space, to include the wider environment, to start to travel in your mind's eye, your immediate environment and beyond, kind of with an open scanning attention, and see what life form or earth form you are drawn to. Don't overthink this. In a sense, allow yourself to be chosen, to be called. perhaps surprised. Don't necessarily choose a being that you already know a lot about. And then once you've been chosen by a living form, or it could be an earth form, like a mountain or a river, we won't make too much of a distinction between sentient and insentient beings here, because they all speak the Dharma, as Dogen says. I have a series of questions. You might want to do some writing or make some notes for yourself. From the actual point of view and voice, give voice to this being imaginatively. So first, what is it like to be this life form or earth form? What are your capacities? What interrelationships are important to you? What are your challenges? What difficulties are you facing? What would you like us humans to know? And finally, what strengths or wisdom can you offer to us humans? So please feel free to make use of these this exercise in any way you wish. It's ideal to do it with a group of people and then share in the full length practice. There's use of masks and art making included as well. So this is a very, very simple version, and Wednesday night we got into small groups of about 5 people, and each person spoke from the point of view of the being that had chosen them. So if you choose to do this, even in this way, long distance, please make sure to share this with someone. So thank you all, and please be well, be safe, and be kind, as our provincial health officer, the wonderful Bonnie Henry, advises us every day. Thank you.